You know, when I know Sunday's coming up, I ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what would you have me do? What topic? Give me an anchor first. Well, he gave me a topic, freedom. I thought, hey, that's cool. A holiday weekend, we're talking about freedom. This is all cool. And that's so. Now, when I got into it, there is a ton of information here. So I have a lot, long way to go and a short time to get there. So I may be faster pastor this morning, so buckle up your seatbelts and join me for an amazing ride. Okay. You know, we celebrate freedom this weekend, right? And that's the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And we all know this passage, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, this document was radical for 1776. Yeah, it's radical today, yes, okay. But back then, right, countries were ruled by kings, right? Kings gave people the rights that the king wanted the people to have. For the founding fathers to say that there was a creator and that who gave these rights, and the rights came from the creator and only the creator could take them away, was profound. Now, people will argue whether this is a Christian nation or not. There were 56 signers to the Declaration of Independence, and all of them belonged to a Christian church of one type or another. The majority of them were either Episcopalian, Congregationalists, or Presbyterian. There were a few Quakers, a couple of Unitarians, one Catholic. But they basically were using God's principles to create this country. They believed in the Lord God. Now, they weren't setting up a Christian nation. You notice there's no national religion. They didn't try to make us all Presbyterians or Episcopalians. But they used God's principles in that to set up this nation. Now, before we start, I want to define some terms. For those younger people here, this is the dictionary. This is where we went to find out what words meant before Google.
Where's Google?
Yeah. And for you older people, Google is where the younger people go to find out where words mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at a couple of words here. The first one is freedom, right? The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government. The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. I found it fascinating that in your Bible, right, in the New Testament, where you find the word free, that's actually translated from the original Greek, which means to liberate or exempt from liability. I thought that was kind of interesting. Right, now, when we talk about freedom, we often think of liberty, right? The state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. The power or scope to act as one pleases. The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. Right, we all know the Bill of Rights, right? The first 10 amendments of the Constitution. 5 freedoms the Constitution protects: speech, religion, press, assembly, the right to petition the government. Together, these 5 guaranteed freedoms make the people of the United States of America the freest in the world. All right, now, I don't know, I think I probably could speak for just about everybody here. We are blessed to live in the United States of America.
Amen.
I thank the Lord often that I was born and raised and get to live here. But when we talk about freedom, there's something that we need to recognize. No government can give you freedom from sin. It's not possible to put it in the Bill of Rights, not possible to put it in the Declaration of Independence. Right? Romans tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus. So where do I find true freedom? I find true freedom in Christ. Well, that freedom is what we're going to spend time exploring this morning. Okay, so get your notebooks out and be ready. And we're going to be, there's no specific anchor verse, we're going to be kind of all over. And that, right? Jesus sets us free, right? John 8, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in John 14, Jesus explained what the truth is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All right? So if you want to come to the Father and you want freedom, you do it through truth, and you do it through Jesus. All right, now, freedom and liberty are not necessarily the same. All right. And Galatians warns us of this. Now, this particular passage we studied a few months ago when we were in Galatians, right? And that Paul wrote to them, as to you, my friends, you were called to be free, but do not let this freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, let love make you serve one another. Right? And I think as a nation, we've gone all the way from freedom to liberty to license. Right? Well, what is license? License is the freedom to behave as one wishes, especially in a way that results in excessive or unacceptable behavior. Right? In other words, somebody who is celebrating license says, I can do whatever I doggone well please. And not only can you not say anything about it, you can't shame me about it, you can't tell me it's wrong. You have to celebrate my freedom. And that gets us in a world of trouble. Right? Now, something that, that sin is an illusion. Right? That car isn't flying. Right? It's an illusion. Right? Sin, right? Let's face it, it looks tempting at first. Right? It looks like, wow, this could be fun. Right? But there's always a hangover. James tells us, right, then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Right. Jesus sets us free from sin. Acts 13, through him, Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you are not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Right. Now, Jesus does that two ways. One way is through his redemptive salvation, through his sacrifice on the cross. But he also makes it possible for us to overcome sin in this life. All right. Jesus quoted Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Without Jesus, we are the oppressed. With Jesus, we can be set free. Well, so you ask yourself, well, how can we overcome sin? Right? Well, the first thing is to decide whether you really want to be free from sin. Yeah. Okay? I confess, there's times that something comes to me. Well, let me put it this way, right? If I were to ask a show of hands, and please don't. If I was to ask a show of hands, do you really want to be free from sin? Come on, everybody's going to raise their hand here, right? Let's be honest with each other. But when you get home and you're by yourself, is there something that's like, well, Lord, maybe could I have just a little sin? I'm not going to do anything really bad, but just a little bit, right? We have to decide whether we really want to be free from sin. That's the first thing, right? I look at it, being a car guy, right? I look at it as a tachometer, right? On one end, right, I want to stay pure, right? I'm at cruising revolutions, right? Then I speed up a little bit, now I'm tempted, or I redline, I want to sin. Yeah. Right. If you want to be free from a sin, right, ask the Lord, go to the Lord and confess your sins and temptations. Right. 1 John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth, remember the truth, Jesus? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? Let me repeat that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Two thoughts on this, right? One, right, I may be able to hide my sin from you, right? But I can't hide it from the Lord, right? If I think I'm hiding my sin from the Lord, I'm dumb. It's stupid. Don't deceive yourself that way, all right? The second thing, though, is that he will purify us. He gives us a way out of our sin. Right? And the truth is, we're all tempted. Right? 2 Corinthians tells us, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Right? Clay jars, right? They break, they crack, they fall apart, they crumble. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. All right? Let's face it, we all are tempted. Pastor Darren's tempted. I'm tempted. You're tempted. We are all tempted, right? Who tempts us, right? The devil tempts us, right? That's one of his names. He's the tempter. That's his job, right? That's what he does. And ask the Lord to take the temptation away. John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When you're tempted, if you want to be free of the temptation and the sin that will follow, the first step is to ask the Lord to take the temptation away. And if you really want to be free from the sin, he will do that. Right. Now sometimes the temptation is going to persist. Right. If it does, ask the Lord how to overcome it. Because no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. We kid ourselves, right? You know, we'll say something like, oh, well, the temptation is too great for me. I can't withstand it, right? Well, okay, yeah, there's truth in that. By yourself, you cannot stand it, withstand it. You will succumb. Sooner or later, you will succumb to the temptation. But in Jesus, going to him, he will provide a way out. Right? So how does the Lord help me to be free? Right? Well, you don't fight with only worldly tools. Right? Anybody who does any do-it-yourself, right, and this is true whether it's in the garage or in the kitchen, you know you need the proper tools. Right? You need the right wrench. You need the right meat thermometer for your meal. Right? Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Now this passage, when we studied it before, Paul was actually talking about new believers in Christ, and they were being told that they needed to be circumcised, to become Jews first and obey all the law to be saved. And Paul's saying, no, don't do that and that. But this isn't really out of context. What he's saying is don't depend on worldly tools. And that's exactly what the message is here. Don't depend on worldly tools when you want to overcome sin in your life. Right? You know, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Right? When you're tempted, ask the Lord to speak into you. Right? Is there some reason that this temptation is triggering me? Some reason that this temptation has a hold on me. Some reason that the enemy can keep putting this temptation in my mind and I can't chase it away. Right? 2 Corinthians 3 tells us, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We don't need to stay stuck in the birdcage. Yes. Yes. You need to turn it on.
Oh, yes, sir. Will do.
So
One of the things that that the Lord has shown me too, and I know we've talked about this, is how not only does the enemy want to deceive us, but honestly, sometimes we can want something emotionally, but our hearts, the Bible says, is deceitfully wicked.
We deceive ourselves.
And we deceive ourselves.
Yes.
And so we're stuck in this perpetual, we don't know, why do I keep, and I want to be free, but we're actually deceiving ourselves. And that's, you know, one thing when you're saying to call out to the Holy Spirit, you know, the Lord brings to mind that Psalm 139 verse, and you may have it up there already coming up, and if so,
go ahead.
But in Psalm, you know, 139, when David was crying out to the Lord in verse 23, you know, he said, if you really want to know, and you really are confused, and you really are being just in held down in bondage, you seem like you can't break free, you don't know why, you seem like you're praying, you're asking, you know, you can do what David did. And he asked, he's like, well, maybe my heart's deceiving me. He says, search me, O God. You know my heart. He says, test me. And that testing, it can be through fire or whatever. You have to be willing to go through whatever. But search me, O Lord, test me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way within me. You know, reveal it. Pull away the layers, whatever I've got blocking my heart or stopping up my ears. Peel it away, test it, burn it away. And then it says, you know, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. And so one thing I found is if you're really desiring that, you know, sometimes we can trick ourselves is to, like you're saying, call out to God, ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal things, ask Jesus to open your eyes, to test you, to whatever needs to happen. Even say that, whatever you need to do in my life, to help me to see things clearly, Lord, the way you see them, or to be free the way you want me to free. Do what you need to do. And now that's a wonderful, dangerous prayer. I don't know how else to say it. Wonderful and dangerous, because you have to know that things are going to happen. And be prepared for that. But God will lead you in the way of everlasting life, and you'll have more freedom and joy than you had before. And so I just wanted to make that little point there too.
Yeah, no, that's it. And my experience in that, being with a lot of folks in these kind of situations, that often when you do that, more often than not, you're going to find out it's either someone has sinned against you or some sin in your life. And often, if it's someone who sinned against you, is that you need to forgive them for what they've done to you. And that. So when you pray that prayer, be prepared for an answer. And then you have a decision to make. Are you going to do something with the answer, or are you going to ignore it? Right, now, if you ignore it, well, okay, then welcome to sin, temptation, and sin. You know, but you can follow the Lord, and he will bring you freedom. Okay. But now, we've freed from more than just sin, right? We're also freed from damnation, right? 1 John, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. All right. The main portion of the freedom that Jesus has bought us, right, is freedom from eternal damnation and freedom from sin in this life. So I would think that's a big amen, right? And this is the biggest amen I could find in a graphic. But wait, there's more. Notice the cross I put in his hand. Come on, good Photoshop. Good Photoshop, guys. Come on, give me a little bit of cred here.
Amen.
I'm trying hard, folks. Okay, all right. You know, we weren't meant to face trouble and challenges alone. All right. I'm absolutely convinced that God created us to have a relationship with us. All right. You know, what did he do with Adam and Eve before the fall? He walked with them in the garden. He spent time with them. All right. Even today, right, the creator of the universe wants to hear from each and every one of us. Right? And I don't know how he multiplexes, but he can hear from me and Jason and Susan and Jay at the same time. He hears from all of us at the same time. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Right? Now, Jesus wants us to have peace. Right? The time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, and each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Listen to this phrase. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Okay. But notice some key words there. In me you will have peace. Not in ourselves, in Jesus we will have peace. Well, logical question is, can the Lord really give us peace in this crazy world that we're living in? Right? I mean, let's face it, the world is messed up.
Yep.
Right? I mean, there's chaos all around. And you know, it's real easy to get discouraged. I mean, I admit, a few years ago, about 2 years ago, I quit watching the evening news because I just got agitated. And my mind was going to places that the Lord didn't want it to go. And so I quit watching the news. And I still read stuff because I can control that a little better. But this world is nuts, right? So can the Lord really give us peace in this goofy world? Well, it's fascinating. Last week, right, we were in the first part of Genesis 17. And this verse, I think, really should strike all of us, right? Right. Now, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Right? This is a time when Abram, right, the Lord had promised Abram and Sarah that he would give them a son, right, and that he would be the father of many peoples, right? And Abram's 99 and his wife is, I think, 10 years younger, and they had no kids, right? And they're looking to go, Lord, you know, really, I don't think so. And that, so God comes specifically to Abram, right? Now, what I focus on here is the word God Almighty. Right, in Hebrew, in English today, we're used to hearing it as El Shaddai. Okay, but if you break it down, right? Well, El means God, which is strength or mighty. Shaddai means to pour out. Da alone means sufficient. Right? So if you put it all together, right, what it's saying is that God is someone who is mighty, all sufficient, fully capable to pour out his sufficiency on us. Let that soak in for a moment. Right? This is the God who speaks universes into existence. And he's capable of pouring out his sufficiency to handle everything over you and I, like you would pour sauce on a salad. Well, you wouldn't pour sauce on a salad. You pour salad dressing on a salad. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, well, I'm not cooking today, so don't worry about it. Right. First John tells us, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, the truth is that this crazy world will crush you if you don't know Jesus. Now, I'm hoping everybody here knows the Lord, and that. But if you don't, please come see Pastor Darren or myself afterwards. We have some really good news that we want to share with you. And that. But look at what this says, right? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. There's the microphone.
I've got my own personal mouse.
You got your own personal mouse?
Yeah, George gave it to
me. Who did that? George, you and I have to talk after. George. We got to talk after service, George.
See, this picture of the world in the hands, that's not nearly big enough. Because in the scriptures, the world is, the word that is used is cosmos. And cosmos is the totality of all creation. Not just this small planet that is held in this picture, but the totality of all creation. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And that also includes our flesh. Mm-hmm. Because I looked it up. I said, yeah, but does that include my flesh And he said, yes. I looked it up, and once again, he was right.
Okay, so it leads me to the question where I need the Lord's help to be free. Right. So we'll start by taking a selfie. Well, let's change that. Let's rather let the Lord take the picture. Right. I think we heard this verse a little bit earlier. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Right. So frankly, that's my prayer for all of us this morning, right? That the Lord would say, right, what am I carrying that I need to share with you? My prayer, literally, before today, was that the Lord would take each and every person here and touch him as we go through some of these freedoms and say, you know, I want you to be free here. This is a place I want to change your life. Okay. We have freedom to combat evil spirits. Acts 16 tells us, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. Right? She was prophesying and following Paul around and making lots of money for her keepers. And Paul finally got tired of it. But notice what Paul did, right? In the name of Jesus, under his authority, I command you to come out of her. And that. We, as believers, belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Under his authority, we can command the demonic to do what Jesus wants them to do. There's silence here. You follow what I'm saying? And that. That's important because we're under attack all the time. There's a spirit world that we live in. We're spiritual beings living in a physical world temporarily. And that. Now, there will be times, and I won't lie to you, there will be times that the demon will not obey. And when that happens, you need to go to the Lord and ask why. Why? Is there something in me? Examine my heart. Is there something in me that allows this demon to bother me, to tempt me, and not be obedient? Yeah. I also want to caution you. Don't try to do it under your own authority. You're overmatched. In your flesh, you're overmatched against a demon. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not. And if you are acting in his will, what he would do, and that the demon needs to be obedient. Now, if you're saying, demon, stop tempting me from this sin, right? No question, that's in the will of God. Right? No question, that's in the will of God. And that. So under Jesus' authority, and that. That's what you want to do. Right? We have freedom from division. Right? And, you know, we're short on time, so I won't read the whole passage. Right? Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and they were dividing. You know, I follow so-and-so, I follow somebody else. And it was dividing the church, right? And we have freedom from that, right? You know, Paul finished it, right? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Right? The Lord doesn't want us to be divided. He gives us freedom from division, right? Sometimes I look at the church, the big Christian church, and I see the division, and I almost hate it in that, because you think about it, what good is an amputated arm? I can't lift anything. And that, you know, we are so quick to divide over the minor things, and that the major things, yeah, you know, Jesus is Lord. Right, there's no sacrifice we can make for sins. That's all been done. It's grace, not works. The main things we need to be unified on, and that. But we don't need to divide over the little stuff. Jesus gives us the freedom from that. Now, notice how I phrase this. He gives us freedom in physical illness. Right, James 5. If anyone among you is sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, I'm blessed to have an opportunity to pray for healing for a lot of folks. And we do this every week, you know, often sometimes more than once a day in the texts that we send out. Mm-hmm. And we've seen healing, some truly amazing that, you know, were, you know, just amazing. It's, you know, but God, only God could do these things. But there's times that we don't see somebody healed in the flesh. Right? And yet, the Lord will raise them up. Right? These people that are terminal, that die from their illness, right? The Lord raises them up. And they have a perfect body in heaven. They are healed. And that. So we need to keep that in mind. And that, you know, there's freedom in physical illness. Right? We may be ill, and the Lord may choose not to heal us physically in this, but he will see us through that illness until we rejoin him in heaven. We have freedom in grief. Right? Isaiah, right? We talked about this earlier. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for prisoners. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. We're doing, on Thursday evenings, we've been doing a grief share class for people who have lost a loved one. And it is terribly sad when we lose somebody who's precious to us. And it's also true, the more we love someone, the more they meant in our lives, the harder we mourn, the harder our grief is. And I don't know how non-believers survive grief. I really don't. But the Lord will bring comfort. He won't wave a magic wand and take the grief away. That's not going to happen. But he will provide, he will walk beside you. He will stay with you. He will comfort you through the mourning process and show you where there is goodness in that grief. The Lord will give us freedom from dangerous thoughts. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Our weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and take every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Confession time. Sometimes some strange thoughts come into my head. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here that has that happen. I see a few heads shaking. No, I'm not. Okay, good. Good. I don't have to check myself into a clinic. Dangerous thoughts will pop into our heads, right? Right? And yet we have the ability to take every thought captive. As soon as I recognize a thought, it's like, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. Get away. The Lord gives us that strength to do that, right? We make our thoughts obedient to Christ. Okay, Mark, you use your microphone again, eh? You got to turn it on first.
I did. Oh, okay. Here it is. Do you think it's possible that some of the things that we go through as believers, they happen because God wants to show through us and how we respond the difference between a believer and an unbeliever?
A qualified yes, okay. I've known people who, you know, were terminally ill. Right? I don't put their terminal illness on the Lord. I don't blame the Lord for their terminal illness. But people do see how you react to the illness, how you react to the problem. You know, whether it be a crisis at work, whether it be a crisis in health, crisis in finance, whatever that crisis is, people see, you know, why are you not freaking out, pulling out your hair, and going crazy and cursing everybody who's around you? People do know. So yes, the Lord does use those moments and that. But in terms of the cause of those moments, most often than not, somebody sinned along the way that caused the bad thing to happen in so many cases. Right. One of my favorite verses, and I didn't include it here, is, you know, Romans 12:2, where it talks about the renewing of the mind, making the mind new. We have the ability to do that, and I did a teaching on that a while back. You can find it in the archives. Right? We have freedom from want. And I want to be careful that we understand this, right? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. I can't promise you that the Lord will give you physical possessions, right? But I can promise you that the Lord will provide your needs, right? And I can promise you that worrying about your needs is foolish, right? Now, that doesn't say that you shouldn't plan. I mean, there was time in my life when I was a financial planner, and that's what you do. You do plan for retirement. Thankfully, that's a good thing to do. You do plan to be able to pay, make your next car payment and your next mortgage or rent payment in that. But to worry about it, that's foolish. Right? And now, you may be saying to yourself, well, we're not strong enough to overcome. Right? So how do we overcome? I really like this graphic. I thought this was neat. 2 Peter, its divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. All right. His divine power. And that power comes from the Lord. All right. One reason I like this graphic so much is lightning starts up in the heavens and reaches down to earth. And I just think that's cool. By the way, I don't know if you know, this area around Tampa here, we're one of the lightning capitals of the world. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Right. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that Jesus is at work within us, right? Not him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. All we ask and imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Right? Well, look at this verse, right? And that he does more than we can even think to ask for. Right? I think one of the main problems with my prayers, and probably yours too, is I'll go to the Lord and go, hey, Lord, I figured out how this problem can be solved. Here's the solution. Would you do it? It's like I'm giving him a to-do list. Right? Well, you know, come on, let's face it. That's what we do. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, and so often, God's answer is better than we even could conceive of. Right? You know, we think of some jerry-rigged way to fix a problem. When he goes, oh, no. Here's a much more elegant, a much more perfect solution to the problem. Right? And he has the power to do it. Right? It's his power. Right? And that now, sometimes he's going to use us. You know, when we pray for somebody, and we'll say, Lord, would you heal this person? And you've heard me say this before, and okay, it's preacher's privilege. And that you know, I should also be asking, Lord, is there some part that you want me to play in reaching out to this person? You know, I pray for his salvation. Well, you know, maybe the Lord wants me to go have coffee with him and share what the Lord's doing in my life. I don't know. But I think I need to be asking the Lord, is there a part at work within us? Right. You can trust the Lord. Right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in your minds in Christ Jesus. All right. Peace that transcends all understanding. Mm-hmm. We probably all know, right? You know, shalom. Right? It means to be at peace with God in our existence. Right? That's what God wants for us. I couldn't wait to do this again. Right? We also have freedom to witness. Right? Acts tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Right? I shouldn't say we all, pray that the Lord gives you opportunities where he will tell you, I want you to go witness to this person. Yeah. That the Holy Spirit has already prompted somebody. He's plowed the land. The crops are ready to be harvested. Yes. And he will tell you when the crops are ready to be harvested. Be prepared to do that. You have the freedom to witness, not only from the Lord, but in this country. And we have freedom of religion. It's not like in Muslim countries where you can't share the gospel. You can. And shame on us if we don't. We have freedom to authentically love others. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Right? It says, you know, that God is love. Right? And he wants to pour out that love through us to others. He wants us to demonstrate who he is by how we love others. All right, there's a passage I probably should have included where it says, you know, they will know your believers by the love you have one for another. Right? Let us show love to each other. Right? We have freedom from guilt and shame. Nobody likes that dog picture. I thought that would be a hit. Yeah, well. Okay, can't win them all. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Right? We are free from guilt and shame. Right? Now, who wants to lay guilt on us and shame us? The enemy. Right? You know, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is of the Lord, and it says, hey, you can do better than this. With my help, you can do better than this. Condemnation says you will never do better than this, and God doesn't love you anymore, and you are not worthy of him, and he doesn't care about you. There's a big difference. Right, we have freedom to live in Christ. Right? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, you think about an unbeliever. They can't wait till Friday night, right, so they can go get drunk or high. Right? They can't wait till their next paycheck or the next fix, whatever it is. Right? And is that a full life? I don't think so. I really don't. You know, we talk about the joy in the Lord, and it's not happiness, it's joy. It's a different experience in that. It's at being at peace with ourselves and with the Lord, right? You know, and that's having life and having it abundantly, having it to the full. Right? We have freedom to serve, right? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, what God prepared in advance for us to do. I encourage you all to serve somewhere, right? You know, now, Lord's telling me not to do that. If you ask people who serve, they will tell you that if they do it under their own power, it can be a burnout. It can be a burden. It can be a task. One more to do. It's like, oh man, it's on my calendar. Thursday, I need to do that. You know, if I'm doing it out of love for the Lord, and that it becomes a joy, it does. When I do it for the Lord, and that I am blessed more than I bless others. and that. You know, it's, well,
especially what when we're doing it in response to his love towards us.
Yes, yeah, when we're reflecting his love, right? It's the parable of sowing and reaping, right? What you sow, you reap in a multiple. When I sow service, I receive more than I sow. That's the way the Lord works. Okay, let's recap. Psalm 119, I will walk about in freedom, for I've sought out your precepts. Right, we have freedom, but we need to seek out his precepts. Well, how do we seek out his precepts? Right, we seek out his precepts by spending time in his word. Right? We spend time with the Lord in prayer. Right? That's how we learn his precepts. That's how we walk about in freedom. All right, the power comes from the Lord. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Romans 8. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Freedom comes from him. All right. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, tomorrow, we'll probably celebrate with a cookout and maybe some fireworks. And we do that every 4th of July to celebrate independence and freedom. We do that one day a year. All right. It strikes me that the freedom we have in Christ, we should celebrate that every day of the year. Now, okay, we're not going to shoot off fireworks, maybe not physically, but maybe we could set off some spiritual fireworks and that. Serve others, love others, take the temptation and the sin out of our lives, live more in Christ. Let him be revealed in us to those around us so that we're witnesses to him. Set off fireworks that way.
Amen.
Would you all stand and join me in prayer and we'll close? Father, your word says that you sent Jesus to set the captives free. Lord, we love freedom, but sometimes I think we don't know what it is. We confuse licentiousness, we confuse sin, and we think we're being free, and yet we're, as Paul warned us, we're moving back into bondage. And so, Lord God, I ask that you touch each and every heart here, Lord, with true freedom, Lord. Show us where there is still bondage, Lord. Show us where we can celebrate more of the freedom that Jesus bought for us on the cross. We thank you in his name. All God's children said, amen. Amen.